What's up, Kraken Aces listeners? You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save big money at
Menards. Hello.
What's up?
So how's Vegas? I guess that's right. We should start the show. Jake, you've been in Vegas for a week now.
Yeah, I'm ready to get the hell out of here.
Crazy.
I know.
Prelim Jake.
I have my last tournament today, the 1500 six max.
It's a fun one.
Yeah.
What? Why don't you play the 25K instead?
No, I don't think
so. Come on. 1500 six max. That's a fun one. A lot of fish. Fast paced six max event.
Yep. I'm not sure if it's a freeze out or not, actually. I was looking online. I couldn't.
I would assume not, because six max, they need all the people they can.
Yeah, but you know, it's I don't know. My live poker stops tend to be pretty uniform in how they go.
So yeah, today is a 1500 six max and the 25K eight-handed high roller. And if you stay for tomorrow, the $300 Gladiators of Poker, $3 million guaranteed.
Wow.
They really be running huge stuff every single day.
Yeah. I mean, the PLO got over 3,200 people.
Biggest PLO tournament of all time, the Mystery Millions. Ended up having two $1 million guaranteed bounties. It had over 18,000 entrants, the largest 1K live event ever run. Jake, you bagged a big stack in that mystery bounty. You wanna tell us what happened there?
I mean, every time that I like make a run in a tournament, I feel like the poker gods just let me know, like, what are you doing in this thing? Go home and do what, you know, make your money the way you know you're how you make your money at what you're good at, you know, like just do what you're better at. And this isn't it.
You bagged over $1 million on day one. You doubled up aces versus sevens early on day two when the bounties came into play. And then It was, I guess, all downhill from there.
Yep. So like I had 1.3 million going into day two when the bounty started, and I covered everybody at the table except for one guy who I ended up doubling through, ironically.
Which sucks. He was left with like two big blinds behind.
And not only that, I had like chipped up a little bit, I think. And then I lost like a small pot, blind on blind, two hands before. And then I doubled up two hands later, where I would have had him covered if I had won that pot. So yeah, pretty brutal. I didn't have a shot at a bounty until the hand before I busted, which is insane. Like, it's actually insane that I didn't even have a shot. Like, it's not like I legitimately, like, I doubled up to almost 3 million. The table was full of short stacks. I had one spot where...
Were people going all in, or was it...
Yeah.
And you just... You had seven deuce, and...
I couldn't open, and I wasn't... The only mistake I may have made, and maybe this is just, like, I just need to be more reckless. It folds the small blind who shoved eight blinds, and this is after I'd already doubled up, so, like, I would have still had the table covered, so I had, like, 2.8 million. At 500K, or sorry, 50K. And, you know, I'm like, all right, should I just call any two without looking? I'm like, I, you know what, I should just look. and I have eight deuce off. And I just like did some quick math at the time. There was, I had done the math to see what the bounties were worth at the start. And I really wasn't even getting the right price with, because there were still, maybe 900 people left. So the bounties were like still worth pretty much the same. I folded.
I
And I
mean,
should have just called.
what, there's like seven hands you don't call, and one of them is eight deuce off.
And he actually showed pocket threes. I was like, I still should have called.
You had an over.
I really should just call without looking. I should just like not even worry about it. Well, especially when I still have everybody else at the table
How
covered.
many bigs do you call there? Like five or six?
Yeah, I mean it's pretty close. I don't know. It honestly might just be a call. I have no idea.
Damn.
But I folded, and then what I didn't consider was that, and I guess I didn't know because the tables were breaking so fast because people were busting out so quickly. But our table ended up breaking, and I got moved to a table that didn't have very many short stacks.
Because everybody had already busted and doubled up.
I guess I don't know. And then I yeah, I just had trouble. Just mo it moves really, really quick. I lost one really big pot, kind of. Like my second or third hand at the new table, and then was just kind of grinding 20 to 30 blinds for the rest of the day. Got like 300th, when
No
no
other
bounty.
chance, no other chances at a bounty.
I had one, and it was a guy just doubled up, and the guy to my left was left with 450K at 80K big blind, and it pulled to me on the button. I think this is pretty standard. I'm not sure if there was maybe some frustration for me from not having literally having zero bounty opportunities, but I have like 1.8 million, 1.7 maybe, and I just min raised 7-6 off on the button, hoping that the small blind shoved, and he did, and I obviously called, and he had pocket tens, and then I busted the next hand.
With what?
I shoved 15 and a half blinds with king queen and ran an ace king.
That's
That
it.
was it. Yep.
God damn.
So yeah, it was pretty
Wait,
brutal.
it is kind of lucky for you that you had the eight deuce there. And so, like, you can't really regret not calling there. It's like you had the one, it's not like you actually had a real hand. That's just brutal. Like,
I would never. I wouldn't fold. I wouldn't fold anything. Other than maybe like eight deuce, seven deuce, maybe 8-3. I really don't know. I think I should just call without looking and just gamble. I don't think I had enough gamble, and I really didn't have any spots. Not like I was making tight folds. Like I was like ready to open shove for like 20 to 25 effective. I was ready to open really wide from early position, and I was just.
like you couldn't even find like a queen 10 off to do anything with.
No, it was all just garbage.
Sucks.
Then I played the 5K, busted that. Played the PLO yesterday,
Anything
busted that.
special from the 5K? How's your table?
My table was amazing. It
Really?
was a ridiculously good looking field. And I mean I got myself in a interesting pre-flop spot. Actually, a interesting post-flop spot after a aggressive pre-flop decision by me, where I had chipped up to like 90K from 50K. Blinds were 1K, 2K. I had just lost the pot. I think I was down to like 70, 75 maybe. We're seven-handed. Euro opens under the gun, 4,500. This guy who was like definitely like not very good, pretty like loose splashy flats behind. I squeezed the cutoff to 17,000 with ace five of clubs.
Ooh, let's go.
Folds on the gun folds. Guy calls. He has me covered by, I think he maybe had 90 to 100 to start. And I mean it's really pretty standard. Post flop it comes, flop is 7-4-3. With two clubs? No,
Oh.
sorry, sorry, sorry. I would have been way too excited if that was the flop. 7-4-3, two diamonds, one club.
Okay.
And he leads for 20K. And I just shoved, and he called with probably what the top of his range was, and that was two jacks.
Oof.
And a bricked.
Did he tank?
I mean, he probably called within 10 seconds.
So you squeezed, made it 17. He flatted, he bets 20, and you shoved.
I mean, there's no real option once I flop a double gutter and a backdoor flush draw.
Click it back.
I have 60,000. So yeah, that was that. And
Who is
then
that guy? Is he winning?
I have no idea.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. And
So yeah, so you brick the tournament champions, you hop into the Mystery Million bag. So you cashed. How much you cash for? Like 4K?
4,800.
Let's go.
Expectation was probably like 15 or 20,000,
With
probably more
bounties.
actually. Actually, definitely more. Once I got up to like 2.8, my stack is worth so much. But here we
And
are,
you
last tournament.
played your first ever live PLO tournament. That's big news.
And it was, I think it was two or three re-entries, so I busted my first bullet, and I waited an hour because I was having my I ran out of clothes, so I found a laundry service to come pick up my clothes at 4:30, and late reg was over at 5:10, and the
Okay.
woman who was picking up my laundry was stuck because the strip traffic is so bad. She didn't come till she didn't get there till like 5:40, so I was just standing there for like 70 minutes and missed the missed late reg.
You've had a
So
hell of a trip, huh? Oh, Barcel Smitty, welcome. New father.
Yes, I'm you're looking pretty good. I don't see like huge bags under your eyes.
No, sleep hasn't been, I mean, it's not great, but it hasn't been awful. I'm just a full-time caretaker now, just taking care of three people full time. That's my job for 2 weeks.
Good.
So, yeah, second, I mean, everyone's happy and healthy, which is great. And it's just the recovery process for the wife and managing the two kids, which is not hard, but it's outrageously consistent. So everyone's down for a nap right now. I'm like, yeah, I'll stop on with the Cracking Aces crew. Why not?
Well, we're happy to have you.
Sorry about your laundry, Jake, and
Yeah.
all your buy-ins.
Thanks.
I have a question for you, Jake. Why don't you play cash games when you're out there?
Thank you, Smitty. That is a great question.
I honestly don't understand this. I play cash games all year round, like around the clock. I'm playing like 9 to 14 tables at a time of cash games for, I don't know, 300 days a year.
Okay.
And I have to, I don't want to come out here and play 20 hands an hour.
No, that's fair. That's a reasonable explanation that I didn't think of. This is like a vacation from cash games for you. Even if the cash population in Vegas right now, you could probably be a billionaire.
That's what I don't get is your.
I don't know. What am I going to do? Why would I, like, I don't really want to go play like mid stakes. It would have to be, I would want to play like bigger stakes, and those games are probably pretty tough.
Yeah, Bobby's room has a seat now. Doyle's out.
Yeah, it's true.
Don't think I'm quite rolled for the 3K, 6K mix that runs there.
No, but I get what you're saying because you don't play tournaments like ever. And this is like a little mental break for you. That's
Yeah, but
completely understandable
you
for
can
me.
sit at 50, 100, order some food, donk around with the fellas, make a few thousand.
But Nate, you're talking to somebody who makes thousands anyway.
That's what I'm
So like
saying.
it
So why
doesn't
would you want
matter.
to sit in a 1500 when you can go play high stakes cash and make real money?
I would rather play a tournament than go play live cash.
You wild.
Yeah, I mean it's a nice change up for me. I always regret it. and you know then it just gives me a good appreciation for when I get back home.
So you're gonna get back onto the grind immediately?
Well, I'm going to San Diego and LA after this for a week and a half.
Ooh, you gonna play at the bike?
No. I could. I really need a break. I just it's been a lot this year, and so it'll be nice to have a week just not doing anything.
You gonna go to the beach? Go to Laguna Beach?
Maybe.
Nice.
You know what is fun, and I kind of agree with you here, Jake. It's a lot more fun playing poker after you haven't played poker in a bit.
Yeah.
You seem a lot more like locked in and ready to go.
For sure. I mean, it's very easy to get burnt out, and I think I was like very burnt out like ending May, the month of May. So yeah, I'll give it one last shot here today. And
is today a two day or 3 day?
3 day.
3 day. So you might have, all right, we'll see you at the final table on Thursday.
When when are you coming back for the main? Are you just coming back for the main? Or
yeah, I'm flying back out of I'm flying back out on July 4th.
That's it. Gotcha. I don't know if you guys talked about you, but Nate, you're looking good now.
I've not given an update. Today's Tuesday, June 6th. I have a doctor's appointment on Thursday, June 8th at 9:45 in the morning, where they will take more x-rays and they will let me know how it's healing. If all goes well, I'm thinking I can go out like I did last year, just go for like the last week, and then the main, go from like June 24th, which is the Millionaire Maker, through the main event. Day 1A is July 2nd or whatever. And I don't know. Like, I think I can just crutch around through those hallways for a while. I did get a little tilted. I stumbled into a poker Twitter thread about people talking about how many steps they've been taking and just like how much more walking they do when they play poker. And I was like, yeah, this is what I wish I could explain to people, is I walk more when I'm in Vegas for WSOP than anywhere else. It's just those hallways between between Paris and Horseshoe are just so long. And then you stand in the late reg line for so long. It's not the easiest thing on one leg, but I can't not go. I am too sad not there. So I'm thinking June 24th, if all goes well on Thursday, I'm thinking June 24th through the main. Ronnie Bardo is on crutches. He said it sucks, but he's making it happen. It's manageable. Jake, what?
Why don't you get a scooter?
Like an electric, like Doyle scooter?
Yeah.
I don't know, can anybody? I was wondering that.
Yeah.
Can anybody get one of those?
Dude, if anybody can get one at a Walmart, you can certainly get one at the World Series of Poker.
You just rent it.
I was wondering about that because, you know, like the hallways when they do this Mystery Millions, you know, it's 8,000 people in the final flight all crammed into the hallways during break. I was like, what if everybody was on a scooter? What would happen? Where would they put all the people? So I wasn't sure if they let everybody get one.
It would be like Wally in real life.
How were those hallways, Jake? You got a little claustrophobic?
No, they've been totally fine.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I was lucky because I bagged the first flight of the Mystery Bounty. So, you know, there were 2,000 people. Even when I registered, there was probably only, I don't know, half the field left. So I didn't see like the crazy clusterfuck that I'm sure exists.
Yeah,
but it's been fine. It's been really easy to get to and from the poker room to my hotel room on breaks, and yeah.
The main event will be 6 weeks, 5 weeks, and they said I can't walk for 6 to 8 weeks, so it's lining up that. What I need is the Jamie Gold treatment. We got this DM. I put it on Twitter. The guy goes, I'm in this big ass rebuy late reg line for the 1K mystery bounty, and Jamie Gold is in front of me. He waits in line for maybe 10 minutes, and then someone grabs him and gets him seated. I guess you don't have to wait like a norm if you're poker famous. Is that fair? Now I get to start with less big lines, even though we were in the same spot in line. Is that standard, or am I just crying?
Okay, here's my opinion. If you haven't retained 10% of your main event winnings, then you get zero treatment.
The that's basically the question is, like, Phil Ivey gets preferential treatment. Daniel Negreanu, preferential treatment. Helmuth, preferential treatment. Does Jamie Gold get
Jamie Gold is not poker royalty.
If they're going to offer it to him, so, like, how is he not going to accept that?
Oh, but it's not a...
Yeah, we're not blaming him for taking it.
We're not blaming Jamie Gold for taking advantage of it. But
Jamie Gold
is not poker royalty. Why? Because he wouldn't shut up and you know, won $12 million 20 years ago and lost it all?
It was the biggest main event of all time.
I know.
But Jamie Gold is not poker royalty.
He's randomly, like, back in the mix. He's a WSOP ambassador, and he's advertising for them and all this. I don't know why they chose – I guess they do market research, and Jamie Gold still – the old people, I guess, still love him.
First of all, we know they do zero market research. Absolutely none. And second of all, who else are they going to get? Everyone else is kind of locked up, unless you want to pull Chris Ferguson's banner out from the bathroom
and
put it front and center.
It's odd that they're treating Jamie Gold like he's Phil Ivey.
I would have said something. If Jamie Gold pulled up in front of me, I would have said something.
Okay, what if it was Ivey?
Fuck no, I wouldn't say anything. Ivey would never.
Ivey hasn't.
I think the treatment should be the same across the board then, or how you treat the treatment.
No, it shouldn't. You know for a fact that there's probably like five guys that, first of all, they're not even like in the normal registration lines from what I've seen.
Yeah. Well,
plus you can do it from your phone now, and you can do it from those kiosks. So I would assume that they are set up there.
Negreanu said in his vlog that he wanted to play Mystery Bounty and the line was too long, so he didn't play it. So that leads me to believe that not everybody.
No, that's not why though. That's not. I watched that vlog. It was because once you reg, the line to get in was
super. This is long. The line that I'm talking about. That's
the way it was. Line. Yeah, that's the way it was the mini main event last year. Yeah. And it was brutal.
Not the main registration line.
Yeah.
But get your seat card line.
Oh.
That line is always. Happened? Huh?
Is that what happened in this Jamie Gold situation?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Now, I could be wrong, and they could have pulled him out of line and been like, hey, Jamie Gold, go use VIP line. But I think the guy is talking about the really long line where, like, after you register, you then have to wait in that really long line for your seat card. I think he's talking about that line. If he's not talking about that line, whatever. But I'm pretty sure he's talking about that line.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was the registration line. No. Then yes, I would have a problem with that.
Yeah, I have a bigger problem with that. And you know what? If Ivy caught me in line, I would say the exact same thing.
Yeah, because that's competition business. It's giving him an unfair advantage over you, even though you paid the exact same money.
The first line of the DM is, I'm in this big-ass rebuy late reg line for the 1K.
I assume that was registration.
Yeah, I did too.
I assumed it meant the big-ass, because then he said he got his seat immediately. Grabs him and gets him seated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, whatever that's the case, it is. Bullshit.
Whatever it is, I do see a difference.
I agree with some of the replies on Twitter that say it's a perk of winning the main event. You know, it's if even if you're the 25th player on the Yankees, if you win a World Series, you don't wait in line to get into the stadium. You know, you're a World Series champion. I kind of can buy that. You win the main event, you get little perks like WSOP grabs you and brings you to the front. I can buy that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I said, if you can't prove that you have 10% of your main event winnings anymore, then hit the showers.
You're just a guy.
Yeah. You're just a guy.
What about multiple World Series of Poker circuit ring winners? So like some would be entered to the top of the line and some people like Jake Toole who only have one.
And some people like me who,
yeah, I would. You know what? If you want to cut me in line, Smitty, I can't say anything.
Yeah, Smitty won his second circuit ring in Pennsylvania. He was a fucking beast. There was 10K for first and a ring, meaning
it was 7,700 for first.
77 in a ring. So entry into next year's Tournament of Champions.
Yep, official. That's actually the biggest weight off my shoulders. Is I'm already set for next year. That's tournament. He tried so hard to get in. Yeah,
I guess I've never been more motivated to get a ring now. I gotta catch up.
Yeah, you need to play in your second tournament and go 2 for 2. I play in as much possible, and I'm able to get 2 overall. You played in 1 and just win 1.
I gotta move the PA. I gotta start denying you of these rings.
Yeah, that's what very much helps the situation. But it was the first tournament I played in after my kid was born. I was just on my phone Saturday night, 320, 25K guaranteed ring. There wasn't many people in the tournament. There was like 50 people when I late regged. I late regged for like 15 bigs. That was it. Just ran good.
Well, I'll put that in perspective for you. I have late regged, max late regged, 4 online tournaments out here, and I've played 4, maybe 5 hands.
Yeah, totally. Yes. Oh, no, I went through. I went through multiple bullets. I went through, I think, 2 bullets, but it was good. It was a good run. I've been on it. I'm gonna blog it all out once I get back, but. I got this. The other ring, I had the second place in the big circuit event, the main event last week for 15. I won 2 PSOOPs on Poker Stars for like 15K overall last month. Like,
Peter,
I am going to need to build a wall around Pennsylvania to keep you people out, because like if anybody gets wind that like outside of Philly is a decent place to live and you can make a lot of money playing poker if you're actually a professional who knows what you're doing, I'm not, and I'm doing okay. Like the bag's gonna be out big time.
Crazy. That's
nuts. Yeah, I mean, that's awesome.
And WSOP of course doesn't update their fucking online things. Like it's the only thing I care about. It's like hitting home run in high school and you get to like see your name in the paper the next day. I went on like Hendon Bob and WSOP. It's just like nothing. I got nothing.
Really? They haven't updated it?
It doesn't even have my first ring on there.
Damn. That actually does suck.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, the World Series. It's only been a week. So World Series started last Tuesday. It's been a week. Yep. Chance, our boy Chance, finished second in the 25K. High Roller, that was event number 2.
Chad Evislage has won both the Dealer's Choice events.
He won the 1500 Dealer's Choice on Friday, June 2nd. And then last night, he won the 10K Dealer's Choice for how much money? I can't find it.
300.
Or 311,000. And Smitty, your boy Nick Schulman, won the 1500 stud.
Love it. Love it. And the next, I text you guys, in the next life I want to come back as Nick Schulman. And I was like, fuck it, this life I want to come back as Nick Schulman.
He had some swaggy pictures from that final table, including his winner's photo.
How old is he? And he's got 6?
What's that?
How old is he? He's what, 32?
31? No.
He's not that? He isn't 30 yet?
No, he's way older.
He's that old? What?
I would guess 40, 44, 45.
He's 38.
38?
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Good for him.
So he's just been, I mean, he's been around forever. But he just got started very young.
Yeah, I mean, he played in like the underground games in New York when he was like 12.
Yeah, wow. I thought he was at least in his 40s.
He wins, it's only his 4th bracelet, somebody, not his 6th.
That was 6. Okay. No, I mean, it's still wildly impressive.
He won the 1500 stud. How do you, Chad Evislage? Is that how you say it?
Chad Evislage.
Yeah. 2 bracelets this year, both in Dealer's Choice. That guy's nuts how good he is. Sean Deeb finished 5th in the stud and then finished 2nd in the 1K online event. So he's getting player of the year points left and right, as Sean Deeb does, losing all the weight.
What are you guys thinking of the PokerGO coverage so far this year, specifically the off-camera or the off-table commentary?
I've not watched any of it.
Yeah.
To be honest, I haven't either.
I haven't either. I saw a couple clips, but that's it.
I don't talk about former employees.
I did have lunch with the former employee.
Heard it went really well.
It went well. Yeah, we had a nice meal.
How many words did you say total?
I said some words. I said this. I put together several sentences.
Okay, good.
That's good.
He also interviewed Alan Kessler.
That's a good interview.
Yeah.
I have no problem with Alan Kessler.
Yeah, that's your boy, though.
Did you see the prop bet that they want to put him in? The golf one? It's actually would be a very entertaining one. He's never picked up a golf club in his life, and I forget who, Jake. Yeah, two people want to put him in, and the over under is 220 strokes.
220?
I would hammer the over.
So over 10 strokes.
Per I mean, hole. It's clear. It's like 12, just over 12 strokes a hole. There's no way he gets under 220. There's just no way.
Really?
No.
You don't think
way.
He never held a golf club in his life?
No. Way.
Okay, that you can't small ball it.
No.
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 I mean, like, I know par fives would take like
he would have 20. To. Well, there's no small balling other than just using the putter.
No.
You know, because there's no club. If you can't swing a golf club, it's not. It's
yeah.
It's
not. Well, I think you can figure out fairly quickly how to make contact with a ball just to move it.
I don't know. You see how that man communicates.
I know.
I think it's an easy over.
Like realistically speaking, you give me that number at 400, I would be thinking about it.
I was trying to think if he can do par threes in like an average of 10. But no, because like,
he's never gonna be. I mean, I'm assuming they're playing. If he does that, there's obviously no mulligans. They're playing with out of bounds.
Yeah.
Stroke penalties. He's not gonna be able to keep it in play.
I think you're wrong. I don't think he ever has to worry about it going out of play because he can't get the ball in the air to like
maybe. What's worse, not being able to advance it and take a stroke or not being able to make contact?
Yeah, it'll basically be just him putting down the fairway. But like, if you have to tee off and get it over any sort of fescue or rough or anything to get it, like, yeah, he's
done.
So it's actually like an impossible bet because unless he can figure out how to hit the ball, like, it's not infeasible that after a bit he can figure out how to swing a golf club.
No, I think it is.
Yeah, I think
not
it
in
is.
A round. Not in a single round. No way.
Damn. All right. Yeah. Over 220. I'm on board.
Nate, you put me out on a golf course right now. I'd beat 120, but it's going to be close.
I wouldn't. I'd probably be in the 130s to 150 range.
Okay. And you're telling me Alan Kessler, who never picked up a golf club? Like, we're not talking about someone who's naturally good at everything. Like, if Francis never played golf, you're saying, okay, go out there, play golf. He's naturally athletic enough where he'd probably figure it out.
Yeah.
Alan Kessler, like, I don't know. He puts on his pants in the morning.
Watch Kessler just be like this super athlete.
That's true, too.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
What else is happening? Smitty, what flight are you looking at for the main?
Oh, I already booked it. I'm going out the 5th, and I'm playing 1D, which I'm kind of scared of. I've never played 1D before. Jake, is that like just a bunch of Euros?
1D is all Euros.
Is it?
It's, no, it's the biggest day.
It's the last day because
I know it's the biggest day, but
it's the least.
No, but the reason you're thinking it's all Euros is because there was the COVID restriction, like the travel restriction that was lifted last year, where Euros could then come.
I think it's a shit show. I'd rather be there.
It is a shit show, and I think the only risk that you might run, and I think I'm playing 1D2. Is that on the 6th or the 5th?
It's on the 6th.
Okay, then maybe I'm playing 1C. The only risk you run is it going 10-handed.
Ugh.
Which it did last year.
It did. I would say I believe it did last year.
Yeah, I played 1D and we were playing 10-handed.
And they're expecting or they're trying to break the record for the largest main event ever, but you know, they're not adding a day one E or anything. So they're expecting more people than last year, but not an extra starting day. 1D, 1D is all the recs because it's the least days off between day one and day two, but you also run into 10-handed poker.
I don't even know. I'll be honest, I don't even know how to register. Like, I'm already satellited in. Like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh,
you just go to the cage as if you were registering.
That's it.
Yeah.
Simple enough, I guess.
I think I'm going to play 1A for the first time ever.
I love that.
Either
get it over with.
Either make day two or just get the fuck out of Vegas. Or. There is the
what do
thought.
You mean? There's still tournaments to play after.
There's no tournaments between day 1A and like 1D though.
Really? There's no like.
Mm-mm. There's like day one two of the mini like shit like that, but there's no new tournaments that start while the main event flights are running. Like there's no new tournament on July 5th. There's no new tournament on July 6th. There's no new tournament on July 3rd. Like the next new tournament is the 777 on July 7th.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
They need those tables, bro.
I guess. Did the logistics and dealers get better, Jake, from day one when you were there to now?
Yeah. But my guess is they, you know, when you have the smaller buy-in, huge field events, that's when they kind of struggle. And that's when I really was the worst. But in the 5K, the dealers were good. In the PLO, the dealers were good. And they kind of have to be, which is tough because it got 3,200 people. But yeah, it got much better.
They designate new dealers to the huge 1K mystery bounties, and they put the better dealers at the. It's not random, right? Like they definitely separate new dealers from experienced dealers based on.
Yeah,
buying.
I mean, in the higher, like deep in tournaments, you know, in day twos, day threes, you're gonna have better, more experienced dealers. Higher buy-ins, they're gonna have more experienced dealers. But it was crazy. I mean, one of our dealers in the TOC, we played 9 hands in 34 minutes.
Because and the deal was slow, or they couldn't control action, or what?
It was everything, and you really everyone just kind of felt bad for her. She was just so nervous; her hands were shaking. She didn't,
no.
You know, when a hand got to showdown, she didn't know who won. She didn't know who to give the pot to.
Yeah,
I've only seen it once.
Everyone was like very patient. Which
so I've only seen it happen once. I think it might have been last year, where the dealer, I mean. My man must have been 90 years old, and that's not exact. I'm guessing he was anywhere from 80 to 90. He was so old, and he just couldn't do the. He couldn't do the job, and our table kind of dealt. You know, we more or less dealt ourselves. Besides him dealing the cards, like everything else was us. And then you know he moves to the table next to us. They called the floor, and they're like, "We can't do this. Like, we need a dealer who can deal the cards." And they removed the dealer. And I, you know, you feel bad. Like, I don't know if you're dealing at 85 years old, like something's up in your life, but the very next table was like floor. Like we've played one hand. we need a dealer who can deal cards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shame.
I mean, I kind of wish we did it. We legitimately, I mean, Jake, you said you played 9.5 hour. It was something.
Yeah, I mean, we were, you know, one guy was counting because of just, it was just because of how slow it was going.
It was so, it was like sad, but it's like, I don't know, like I can only be sad for so long until you realize I'm paying WSOP so much money. The least they can do is get a dealer at my table who can deal. So that's about
also right. Fair.
That, yeah, it's, yeah. I can feel bad, but also like WSOP, figure this out. Like, how does he get through dealer school? Who's signing off on him, like graduating to be able to sit at this table? And
I mean, they just need bodies. So.
Yeah, they need.
Yeah,
doesn't matter. Yeah,
what sucks is when you have the one person at the table who snaps at the dealer and gets all angry, and it's just it's not helpful, but I understand the anger.
Yeah.
I don't. I mean,
it can get tilting.
Sure, it's frustrating, but like it takes like 5 seconds and like two deep breaths to realize like what the situation is. And maybe it's easier at the beginning, but like those people that are snapping are very rarely like doing well in the tournament, you know, like they're
usually not, but
true.
You know, you put down your money, you book your hotel, you expect an experience, you expect WSOP to provide you with what you're paying for. And
snap at the floorman.
You know what? Usually it's not their fault either. It goes.
I know. It's not their fault. I know.
Yeah. I don't know. They have like nailed it into our heads that we're the bad people if we expect their dealers to be competent. Like they've done a great job at that.
It's like society.
Yeah. Go off. Yeah. Yeah.
Essentially, it is. We're the bad ones, the consumers, people. Pick ourselves up our bootstraps, get six jobs. don't worry about paying rent or owning a home.
Well, you live rent free in your friend's house in New Orleans. You get paycheck from Brick while still collecting severance from Barstool while collecting a paycheck from Poker Go.
Good life. It's a wild game. Wild game we play, boys.
Jake, what time's the tournament? Right now it's 2 o'clock East Coast, so it's 11 a.m.
It started at 10 a.m.
Wow.
10 a.m. Vegas time, so an hour ago.
So all tournaments this year are 10 a.m. start times. No more 11 a.m.
Either 10 or 2.
Huh. 10 a.m. is early.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what time are they playing until?
I would say the Mystery Bounty played until 2 a.m., and then they restarted at 10.
Yeah, they play till they play a lot of levels. They play till almost midnight.
Or Mystery Bounty played until 1 or 2. 1. And then you have to bag, and then you had to come back at 10 a.m. That's a tough turnaround.
Yeah. Unless you bag an earlier flight.
Right. I meant the people who had to play the very next day. That's
Yeah, that's a tough turnaround. I very much wish that I did that though.
Instead of having 4 days of nothing in Vegas, yeah.
Yeah.
The existential dread of like 3 days off, just what am I doing here?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely fucked up by not playing the 5K half and half. But other than that, it was really rough.
You could have gone golfing.
I can't. How can I golf? I have one arm.
Forgot that you're crippled like me. But I
exercised. I tried to keep myself busy, but it was very much. I don't have a car.
Man, this is how much of a scumbag I am. I never even thought about once doing my laundry in Vegas. just let it pile up.
I had some sweaty clothes that needed to be cleaned.
I didn't even know of a service. The only service I've ever used doing laundry in Vegas, I've done it one time, and that was La Casa de Hanks.
I would say.
That's what I should have done.
Me and Smitty were enjoying some hors d'oeuvres. We put our laundry in. You know, we're shooting the shit, drinking a couple beers. Mincy comes in, just throws his luggage down on his daughter's bed or son's bed and starts doing, what's it called, snow angels. Yeah.
He stayed there for like 3 days.
Yeah, he just lived at Frank's house.
He had a good run last night. He ended like 31st.
Brent did? Yeah, what did he
do? He was texting with him. He was up. He had a good stack. And
he had
then,
a ton of chips, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's like
900K at one point.
Oh, he had more than that. He had like 1.3.
Oh, sick. And he finished what?
He said 31st.
All right, 31st for $18,569. Brent Hanks. Do you know how he busted?
No, I know he lost a big flip. He lost. You said he lost a big flip at like 700 to go back down to like 4,000, but he was up to 1.3 after that. So I'm not sure how he lost him. I was rooting for him though. He needs another bracelet in his bag before he goes away.
He does have one bracelet in the 2012 WSOP. So, what's that? 11 years ago. He has two bracelets? No,
one. Oh, I thought he had one. Yeah,
one bracelet. I misread it. He beat Jake Baisley heads up. Vanessa Selps finished fourth. Yeah. Then he finished fifth in a WSOP in 2008. Whew. That's when poker was poker. Yeah, Jay, how was the poker itself? Has in the 1K, has the amateurs game improved at all? Or is it still poker?
No. No, poker is alive and well. I mean, to be fair, I didn't, I played the Mystery Bounty. I max late regged, so everyone was pretty short. But, I mean, there's a pretty easy way to improve on short stack play. And, I would say that the amateurs that I played with, the Rex, are still, like, very, very far behind as far as just, like, general strategy for a tournament like that. Playing too tight. The min cash for this 1K was literally $1,060.
Yeah.
Like, min cash means nothing.
Whoa, it means nothing. That's an ROI right there. It's a game.
It's not nothing, but relative to trying to build up a stack and put yourself in a good position, put yourself in a good spot like I did to get up to 3 million in chips and get zero bounties.
So what? So did you guys talk about that already?
What?
Did you lead off with that? Okay.
Yeah, but it is interesting. Like, the average coming into day two in the Mystery Bounty was 18 bigs. And it's fascinating because people were folding to get to day two. But if you go into day two with, six bigs, you might as well not even be there. Obviously things can happen, but you have such an advantage going into day two with a big stack compared to folding. Once you hit that min cash, you need to be so aggressive to get a stack to go to day two with.
Yeah, it's almost like people don't understand that they're playing to win, not playing to be.
You're playing for not even to win, really. You're playing for bounties because the min cash is $60, and then the jumps are so tiny. Until the final table, like, the money isn't even there.
Well, it really is dependent on what bounties get snagged. But, you'll probably see this every year. It's going to be pretty rare for the really big bounties to – once you get in, I think once you get inside like 50 players, there was like 100K bounty left, and then like a few 25.
Dan Shack got it. Nice job, Dan Shack.
Yeah, I played with Dan Shack on day 1A of that tournament.
Nice.
did anyone
bag zero? He bagged zero chips.
Did anybody of note get the millions?
No, not nobody noteworthy.
That's a good thing, though. That's a good thing.
Yeah, the guy who pulled the first $1 million bounty, they asked what he's going to do with it. He said play the main event, the guy who pulled the 500K said that. So
even so,
it's that's why this is the sickest tournament in the world.
Yeah,
$1,000, you pull this huge bounty. It's like your life is so different. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely an awesome tournament. I can tell you that is. It is extremely anxiety inducing being in that room, because not only did I have a big stack and wanted to bounty hunt, we were directly next to, it's so loud in there. Like they have the mystery chest on full blast, full volume. And there's, I think we lost 200 people in 45 minutes. So it's just like, for every person that gets knocked out, somebody gets a bounty. So everybody's submitting their tickets and it's just nonstop, nonstop, nonstop. And you're just kind of sitting there waiting to have it done, to have a shot at it.
This is your Twisted Kings, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. Summer is right around the corner.
Nothing is better than grabbing a refreshing Twisted Tea cold on the rocks. It's got 5% alcohol. It is the perfect drink to turn up your summer. And you might be wondering, is this a sponsored ad? Yes. But the truth is, the boys, we love Twisted Tea.
Dude.
Go buy it. Go drink it. Drink responsibly and tell your boys to buy it as well. Let's have ourselves a hell of a summer. Oh, don't be dumb. Drink responsibly.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
There's just a lot going on. It's very, very, it's very difficult to actually play. And a lot of it was pre-flops. It didn't really matter, but
I very much didn't like playing it last year. It could have been because I ran bad, but it was the most jam-packed room in the world, 10-handed, extremely loud, turbo with just the world's grossest people, just smelly people. I very much did not enjoy
it. but that's not specific to the mystery bounty. You know, like that's just any big field. That's any big field.
No, I know. But for whatever reason, that one's the one that got me. And then when I played the 3K freeze out, you know, we were in like the comfy chairs in the quiet section. It's like, this is the life of luxury.
It's like you're corralled in with like, you know, 500-600 people and four people in that room that you can basically see everybody. It doesn't seem like it's a lot of people. And four or five people in that room are like, you know, that day are going to draw something between $250,000 and $1 million. And you just like, you just want a shot at it. And there's nothing you can do to control it. And it's, you know, even if you get the bounty, most people just rip off the 1Ks and, you know, just move on. But there's another element to it.
I will try next year. I'll tell you that. Or hopefully.
Man, how many bullets did you find to it last year? Like 3, 4?
I fired the max, whatever the fuck. I think 6.
Oh, God.
Whatever the max was, I definitely did it.
Yeah, I think it was 6, maybe 8 this year. No, 8. It was 8.
Hopefully the win, shout out Matt Savage and the WPT, they hold their huge winter series in December. I think they might have $1 million mystery bounty, so maybe we'll take a pilgrimage out to Vegas in December.
Here's my take on the mystery bounties after playing them online in PA. The big ones like that, awesome, amazing. They're trying to shove like $100 buy-in mystery bounties down your dick every night online, WSOP. That's like too much. It's way too much. I don't want to play for 4 hours and just have some hand job get a $10,000 bounty while I'll play them the entire time and I'm getting 1K first. Like, no, it's not right. If you want to make it like a $1,000 mystery bounty like once a month, okay. Not every fucking night replacing like the real tournaments.
The site that I burn all my money on just introduced mystery bounty tournaments. I'm like, son of a bitch.
Sure, they'll have a $1 million one soon.
Inevitably, yeah. And you know I'm going to play it. I did play a 1-2 cash session, not on ACR. I played on an app, made $1,500. That was nice.
Am I allowed to talk about my ACR experience? Or are we going to get in trouble with anybody?
Oh, you go off.
Oh, okay. Well, I deposited 1,000 biscuits onto ACR for the first time in my life. This was about a month ago, after winning one of the PSOP or whatever on Poker Stars. And I did it debit card solely because it said that the first time you do it that way, initiate transaction, there's no fee. So you get the 1,000 in there. Usually it's at least 10%. So I deposited the money and then on top of getting $1,000 bonus. So I expected $2,000 to be in the account when I went to play. And I check and 860. I was like, oh, well, that's interesting. So I shoot an email and they were actually very quick to respond. They said, well, the bonus is $1,000. Like you play and you get it back. I'm like, okay. It's released. It's like, okay, that's understandable. What about the $140, like first transactions free? And they're like, oh yeah, we'll look into that. No response. Okay, just bite that bullet. Lose that 860 pretty promptly, like within 2 days. And then within 3 days, I'm getting erroneous charges from my debit card in Germany.
Yes. What did you buy?
I don't even know. I don't even know, but it was in Germany. It was like Frankfurt and Munich, just like a bunch of little $10 purchases. Nothing big, but it's like, excuse me, really? Is this how we're gonna do things, ACR? You're gonna fuck me in the face, and then you're gonna fuck me in the back, afterwards.
You cancel your card, or someone just
living? Yeah, no, I had to cancel the card.
You should just claim. Fraud for the ACR deposit.
860, yeah.
Oh, I should. Maybe I can. Why not?
But yeah, good. Cut that out.
I'll edit that.
And I want to say fuck these guys, but like they're like old school like poker boom tournaments on there, like the Sunday 500, awesome, and, you know, 200K for up top for $200 buy-in. Like they're juicy.
I need to move to Pennsylvania or New Jersey because I'm just wasting so much money on these tournaments.
You're basically paying Hoodie Alley now, right?
Yeah. Yes. What I ask him for money like every day. And so he went deep in the Venom or Cash the Venom and went deep in some 5K that they ran. And so he has all this money on there. And he peer pressures me into taking it. And I go, all right. I was like, wait, I'm just like paying your bills by taking all this money off for you.
Exactly. It's a good racket. Yeah,
if you need money on an illegal site, Hoodie Allen's your guy. I need to stop though. I truly need to stop. I'll come to New Jersey every Sunday and Jake will make a big Sunday roast for us and I'll play tournaments.
There you go.
Sure.
You get some Sunday gravy cooking.
Known Italian Jake Tool.
I gotta go. We're waking up from naps.
All right, God
I'll
bless.
See you. I should. We'll see. I should be back next week, but we'll see.
Good luck, Smiths.
Good luck.
See you, boys.
You got anything else?
No, that's it. I'm gonna do some yoga and get ready to go play.
Go grab an In-N-Out burger.
No, I only have, I've had Bob's Burgers twice on this trip, the fried chicken sandwich. I've regretted it both times, mm-hmm. but you know, one time I was just too hungry when I first got in, I was just so hungry. I could have eaten the floor. And, the second was Sunday night when I busted four tournaments in a day and just, you know, I needed just something greasy and gross.
You see Cherish bubbled the 5K last night.
Yeah, sucks.
Yeah, then she saw a guy pooping.
What?
So then she saw a guy pooping.
Nice.
Her tweet is stone the 5K, then busted Venetian and win, and then to top my day off, I see a guy taking a shit on the sidewalk.
Ugh.
That's life of a professional poker player. It's not all fun and games and glory. Sometimes you stone bubble. She got jacks versus fives. And then it ran out like runner straight for the fives, like brutal bad beat. And then what a way to bubble. She had over 10 bigs. It went open for middle position. She shoved big blind with jacks, fives called. Pathetic.
Yuck.
Yeah. And then busted two more tournaments, saw a guy taking a poop. Vegas life, baby.
Yeah, it's just an entertaining lifestyle. It's been entertaining life out here.
Been 6 or 7 days since WSOP started, and people on Twitter are just already going. Phil Hellmuth took off the 25K. He was already too tired. I need to find that tweet. It was well in the podcast. That's the funniest tweet of all time. It was June 2nd, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm too exhausted." Where is it?
Whatever.
He also doesn't like play full days. He max late regs everything.
I mean, as he should, if he's not playing like the high rollers, I guess, just max late reg these slow buy and stuff. He's just going for bracelets.
This is June 2nd. WSOP started May 31st. So on June 2nd, he goes, "The WSOP brings interesting decisions for me. I am one of the faves, all caps, in today's 25,000 heads up tourney, but I skipped it anyway. Why? Because I am super tired after two grueling days of poker."
I mean, there's a lot to unpack in that tweet.
One of those grueling days was the 1500 dealer's choice. Like,
crazy.
Two grueling days. What's funnier, two grueling days or that he's one of the faves in the 25K heads up?
I think they are both individually hilarious.
He went deep in the 600 deep stack. I texted you. I have nothing but respect for someone who claims that he's like the founder of Uber and Square and every other startup that's been successful. And he still just goes can focus and go deep in a $600 tournament. I think that's
Of all, people lie. I'm not saying he is, but like people embellish.
Wait, you mean he's not the most successful investor of all time? I don't believe
second
you.
Second of all, yeah, I mean it's still it doesn't even matter. It's still impressive how he like does pretty well in those massive fields. So
I'll take this one. You can have the next. He's been saying that same line for 30 years, and people are like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Phil. He's the GOAT. All right. That's the episode. Good luck in the 1500 six max.
Thank you.
Got a lot of aces. Should What's I play the five? So I sent you that. I have a predicament. When if I go out there, either play the 1500 or a 5K six max. Which one do you think I should play?
I mean, honestly, you should probably play the 1500.
But how fun is a $5,000 six max?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be fun. And you know, I mean, the field will still be pretty good, but I'm just saying.
It's the $600 deep stack or the 5K six max. So, like, the softest tournament or the hardest tournament? I really
5K, want it. 5K, the 5K fields have been very, very good from what I've seen.
It's 50K starting, 60 minute levels, not even like 40.
In the 5K?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird. It's different than the 1500 six max, which is 40 minute levels on day one.
All right, God bless.
Yeah.
Bye. Me and Jake talked about Live Tour for the first 8 or so minutes until Smitty hopped on. So if you want to hear us talk about Live Tour when the news was breaking this morning, here's 8 minutes of that. How about that Live Tour, am I right?
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Crazy shit, man.
What's your take?
What's my take? I don't know. It's all about money. Nobody has any true morals.
Dude, this is what I said this morning. It's like, the lesson is don't have morals. Like, the lesson is just take the money. I worry about God later. When you're 70 on your private island, you can reflect. If someone offers you 9 figures to do anything, 9 figures to do anything, never mind play golf, you just take it.
Yeah.
The commissioner guy.
I definitely think people overrate like people obviously understand the difference between how much Live players have gotten paid and what PGA Tour players
what do you think is overrated? On tour.
What'd you say?
Overrate what?
I think people overrate like the long-term difference in wealth. That like people make such a big deal about who was it, Hideki flying Spirit, but like Hideki is such a celebrity in Japan that like sure maybe he turned down 300 million, but like he's gonna be a celebrity for the next, next decade.
No, this ain't the take, bro.
What do you mean?
Like Rory turned down $300 million that he's not going to get back. It's just
right, but what you're not realizing is Rory is going to accumulate so much wealth over the course of his life that it
sure
this doesn't matter.
Yes, no, $300 million matters.
Why do you think that?
Would you rather have $300 million or not have
$300 million? Of course, but why? Why do you think that? Like, I mean, how much money do you think Rory's worth?
I don't like that way of thinking. Like, yeah, he might already have $300 million, but he could have another $300 million.
Yeah, but maybe he doesn't. And obviously having another $300 million is at least doubling your net worth, which is pretty significant as far as, like, total money. But, like, I don't put – like, people like to put themselves in guys like that shoes as if they have any idea what it's like to have $50 million or $60 million or $100 million or $200 million. And I think, like,
Well, I think this is a little different because there was zero repercussions for it was 9 months of just hitting the
Right,
golf
sure, but
ball.
like no, but like he couldn't have known that in he like
Yeah,
some
no, yeah,
like
I get
maybe
that part.
I think
But that's
using
why the
Rory as an
commissioner guy is such
example
a dickhead
is
because he was
I think
like
using
9/11, blood money, blah, blah, blah. And then like 9 months later, he was like, oh, never mind. This is sweet.
Yeah, I mean it's obviously super fucked up. And I think maybe using Rory as an example is a bad example because the re like him not taking money, I truly do not think it like affects him other than like what he's defended and like how like the stance that he took. But I don't think it has anything to do with the money. Now, if you were to you
He
could probably use
he
some.
looks dumb. He probably feels dumb. He was carrying all the water for PGA.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's like my point is like I don't think the money for some of those guys on the tour really is the like this like oh my God they lost out on this money. It's like no, like they were wrong and they fucked up, but like they were still standing up for what they believed in. But like
I don't think that. So that's the other thing. I don't think any of these guys fucking believe in anything. It's just like they were told by the PGA guy what to believe, and some of them chose to do it, and then other guys like Phil were like, "What the fuck is like this guy talking about? Like, absolutely not."
I don't, yeah. I mean, again, I obviously have no idea like what was said, but I don't know. Someone like Rory seemed to hold like a lot of integrity in the PGA Tour, and I think he did a good job of defending what he was thinking in the moment.
But wouldn't that mean he wouldn't play now if he has these morals and all?
I don't know. It's right. Is it all thrown out the window? I have no idea.
Because if I
Who knows?
understand it correctly, Salty now basically runs the PGA. Dude, the commissioner guy is such a bad person.
I know.
I can't stop laughing. He was
It
talking
kind of
about,
makes
I
you
had.
think that like they like what do they have on him? You know, like what are they? You think
Money, dude. They have all the money. It's
it's
just
just money? Like solely money? You don't think it has like do they have any like dirt on him? Do they have dirt on the tour, like PGA Tour, like
and it, right, everything in life is secession and wrestling and this and that. It's all politics and stuff that us normal people can't even begin to understand. But it all boils down to
leverage.
money.
Like somebody must have leverage on Jay Moynihan or the PGA Tour in some
Yeah,
way.
I'm sure there's some of that,
It's not
but
like LIV was doing great. They were like losing all their sponsors. They were, had like a shitty deal with the CW. It just seems so random.
yeah, it's all politics and backdoor deals and bags and bags and bags of cash. If the Saudi Arabia Fund wants something, they get it. They like there is not a number too high for them.
I know, it's crazy.
I better get like that Real Madrid striker just signed a 3-year $664 million contract to play in the Saudi soccer league. It's like they get what they want.
Anyways, I wish maybe they'll start to dabble in poker.
They definitely will. I don't like, I don't know. It's crazy. Like they started with WWE like 5, maybe even 10 years ago at this point, where they paid WWE a ton of money to hold pay-per-views over there, but the Saudi royal family gets to like kind of like decide what wrestlers come and go. So they said they wanted Goldberg, and Goldberg came out of retirement for like $5 million for one match. Like Shawn Michaels did the same thing. They pay like they wanted Yokozuna, but they didn't know he was dead, so they just found another fat sumo wrestler and called him that. Like this is the royal family. They get to play God. It's pretty insane.
Yeah, be interesting to see like when some more information comes out, which I'm sure it will.
This Monahan guy is like he was talking about dead families and 9/11, and
I know.
how will you ever be able to like what did he use some phrase like apologize for this or I don't even. And then this morning he didn't even give the golfers a heads up.
Yeah, I know. I've been following it all morning.
Bad dude, man, but
Yeah.
very rich.
I guess so.
Sure, he gets a promotion out of this.
Yeah, of course.
It's crazy money, dude.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save